Welcome to Enterprise Radio, the signature show of the Enterprise Podcast Network, featuring some of the most prominent business professionals in the world today. And now your host, Eric Dye.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Today on the program, we welcome both Tina Zwolinski, the CEO and founding partner of Skills Gap, along with Cynthia Jenkins, the Chief Marketing Officer and co-founder. Skills Gap is a host of game-changing workforce development technology. And ladies, thanks for joining us here today on the program.
Thank you. Hello to everyone.
Yeah, hello. Thank you so much.
You're both more than welcome and really do appreciate your taking out a moment to be with us here today and introduce Skills Gap to the audience as well. So to kick things off, Tina, if you would, is Skills Gap the result of the mobile app sensation meeting the stagnation of your typical HR department? Let's start there with that question.
Yeah, I would say ultimately it's going to have a great impact on the HR department, but I would actually point back younger for Skills Gap and say that we're about igniting the passions for youth for those careers that later the HR, they'll be meeting the HR departments and it will help them recruit. So if you think of being able to introduce youth to different careers that they may not have known about or the pathways into those careers, and so they get to be excited about them. And now industry HR teams can actually recruit from the game. So now they'll actually have a more vetted workforce that they can pull from. And so ultimately they will be impacted with a more vetted workforce to recruit from.
Yeah, and to add to that, this is Cynthia, in terms of the mobile app sensation, yes, indeed. I mean, there in terms of this generation that Tina was mentioning, this Gen Z, 95% have access to a cell phone and 90% of them classify themselves as gamers, which is how we, which is basically the service that we provide. And there's 9 hours of screen time, like it or not, on mobile phones. So, and seven of those are spent on mobile, and that includes social media and TikTok and that kind of stuff. But so Tina and I, with Skills Gap, is that we can't change the amount of time they spend on the phone, but we can change what they do on their phone. So that's really the premise of how we came up with Skills Gap.
Here is a fine example of putting technology to great use here with Skills Gap. Thanks so much for giving us an introduction as well. Now, Cynthia, while I've got you, who is the target audience for Skills Gap and what sectors would be receptive to adopting the Skills Gap technology?
Well, so first of all, to clarify, Skills Gap, our games are under the umbrella of Skillionaire Games. And so the games, the target there, of course, would be for middle and high schoolers. But in terms of the sectors that would adopt the technology, it's an umbrella, large term, but, you know, it's essentially advanced manufacturing. And that includes auto manufacturing, aerospace, cyber IT, life science and bioscience, including soft skills. So it's any of those looking to fill their skills gap, which predominantly is in kind of the middle skills jobs. And Tina, you may want to add a little more to that.
Yeah, so when we think about who would understand the real need for something like this, and it is industry. Industry is the one that they feel the pain of having to fill the jobs and what is happening to production when they don't have the people in place. So they are our number one go-to because they understand the need for workers. And then secondly, we focus on states. And so states understand the need for a competitive advantage. And workforce has been the number one checkbox for 25 years in conversations of if you're looking to go somewhere and it's between two states or two regions, you know, workforce is that number one checkbox of what's in place. And then the third group that we look to have conversations with is education. And although for Skills Gap, we want to be outside of the school so that the students are using the games in their free time with those 7+ hours that Cynthia mentioned earlier. And so we do want to support their career efforts in school, the CTE programs that are in place, bringing awareness to those. But those would be the three areas with industry, since they're the innovators in workforce, the innovators in actually, well, I'll say innovators in manufacturing and production. We do need to look at how we innovate workforce development. And that's what we are hoping that Skills Gap can bring to HR and industry as a game changer, if you will.
A very helpful response by the both of you, and it helps us understand who the target audience is and who would be most likely to use and adopt the technology. Now, does the Skills Gap team look to foster high skills and STEM training through gaming? Talk to us about that.
I'll take that. This is Cynthia. So, Tina was mentioning before, essentially what our games do is provide career awareness and pathways. So there are educational games and then games that can be used to supplement education, and ours would fall in the latter. So what our games do is they essentially simulate scenarios in a job construct, so in aerospace or auto manufacturing, life science, et cetera. And as the player moves along, they're exposed to specific like lexicon and maybe scenarios and some proficiencies that then give them opportunities and pathways of how to pursue those kinds of careers in real life. So for example, let's say you're in one of our games, you know, you're not necessarily like, well, this is an atom, but you may be thrown into a really fun lab setting and play and get badges and achievements. And as you progress, you're fed things like, hey, you know what you just did there? In real life, you could be making 70 grand right out of high school. And here's how. So what we do is kind of connect those dots between jobs and pathways for them to go and pursue the educational training that's needed. So to clarify, we're not actually teaching specific skills, but providing career awareness for kids to take to advocate for themselves to pursue them.
Yeah, and I would add to that to say that as they do play the games, they become familiar with the types of skills involved in those jobs. Although they might not be learning how to accurately assemble a jet engine, they do understand the types of jobs that would become part of those different environments that they play with. And soft skills, you know, we hear every single day that if you could just teach soft skills, then we'll teach them the second they walk in the door the other skills. So we do bake into each of our 9 games that we do have soft skills sort of vetted for those industries. And then we have a soft skills game as one of our 9 games too, because it was something that became such a request from everybody from all industries.
You got to love what you've heard so far. Really do appreciate all the information here. Again, introducing Skills Gap to the audience and the possibilities. Today, we're speaking with Tina Zwolinski, the CEO and founding partner of Skills Gap, along with Cynthia Jenkins, the Chief Marketing Officer and co-founder. Skills Gap is a host of game-changing workforce development technology, and they've joined us here today on Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Now, continuing on, you both were successful marketers before starting Skills Gap. What prompted the move, and is it tough being women CEOs in tech in 2022? Talk to us about that. Like to hear some feedback on that.
That is a loaded question. So we had 25 years of a branding and marketing firm that focused on economic development on the B2B side, and then on the business to consumer side, B2C, we focused on youth nonprofits. Every year, workforce development was brought to the top of every project we worked on in economic development. And on the youth side, especially nonprofit, we were seeing challenges with youth not connecting with them as far as future career, ways to break cycles. And so it really became our background of bringing solutions to our client. We saw the biggest solution needing to be brought here. And in order to be able to do it and scale it appropriately in a very competitive technology gaming world, it would need all of our focus. And so we took about 3 years to vet it out to everybody, to really put together that how we geolocate and connect the students. But it really was that work. And then when my son, who is adopted, English is a second language, he was adopted at 13, and he had to navigate the system that we were all a part of with regions and states. And it became something that was so challenging to connect him into automotive manufacturing through a technical college pathway into a manufacturing job that would pay $50,000 without college debt. And it was that moment that Cynthia and I were both like, that's it. We're fully in. Yeah. And we unrolled our company and fully dedicated to this mission of connecting youth to life-changing careers through game-changing play. On the technology side, I would say, and Cynthia can maybe speak to this too, I have not seen any challenges with being a woman-owned tech company. I would say that it actually has opened more doors. Mm-hmm. Where I do see challenges is that we are looking to innovate workforce development. And although it is going to industry, which does innovate, workforce development itself has not innovated for 25 years. And so it is, you're bringing disruption into an area and needing early adopters to be willing to say, I'll put a stake in the ground because I know the need is great. And so that's been challenging to get people's mind shift to think differently. Cynthia, do you have some thoughts there?
No, I would agree. I think that just kind of being early adopters and the first to incorporate this kind of technology in such a scalable mass way that's new and it's scary for anyone. And the fact that Tina and I are women, I think has actually been a real positive because we're also parents and have kids that have not been presented opportunities within these industries in their own schooling system and in their own homes, meaning Tina and me. And we kind of looked at each other and thought, you know, what is our legacy going to be? We loved our marketing and advertising agency, loved it, and we were successful. But this to break stigmas and poverty cycles when there's opportunity right in, I mean, we don't have a people problem to fill these jobs. We have an awareness problem. And so we thought we were perfect to take the leap.
What a fantastic report. And actually, there is no surprise to hear how you've been looked upon in the tech industry and why you made the move over to SkillsGap from a marketing background. Awesome report. And I'm sure you've inspired and motivated quite a few folks tuning in today just from some of that detail and information for sure. Now, looking ahead, where do you see SkillsGap in the future, say 3 to 5 years from now?
Well, I would say in 3 to 5 years that we would have data that we've impacted millions of youth into life-changing careers. Number one, that's our mission, underserved youth, rural, inner city, that they now have found a pathway that they've been able to advocate, navigate themselves at first, and then be able to advocate to guardians, parents, teachers that, hey, I like what I'm doing and I'm learning that I'm supposed to go here this way. And so that we have stories that of lives that have been changed, but that also industry, all these jobs and all the articles on SkillsGap would have a new story about how what used to be and now what's happening. That's our dream.
Yeah, I think, and just to put some scale to it in the numbers, and this just came out, and I know this number was exacerbated by COVID, but by 2025, since you're asking about the 3 to 5 years, there are 3.4 manufacturing jobs that will be open, and right now 2 million will go unfilled. And so as Tina was saying, we want to fill them, and then we're hoping that, you know, SkillsGap, the vernacular is gone forever. Not our company, of course. Our company name will stay the same. But we hope to never have to hear about a SkillsGap again.
Well, this certainly has been awesome to have you both on the program. You're certainly passionate about what you're doing through SkillsGap and what you've put in the space, and we really appreciate your taking a moment to be with us here today. As we conclude, any closing thoughts, a takeaway, a tip, or anything else you'd like to mention as we do conclude today?
You can follow us on LinkedIn if you search for SkillsGap, and YouTube, and also our website, skillsgap.com. But we'd love any feedback if you had a comment to drop in or something that you've seen or just to say hello and connect.
Yeah, and nothing for me. Thanks for your time.
And of course, listeners, you can find all links accordingly within the show notes of this broadcast. Ladies, all the best. Thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was a pleasure.
Thank
Ours
you.
As well.
Again, we've been speaking with both Tina Zwolinski, the CEO and founding partner of SkillsGap, along with Cynthia Jenkins, the Chief Marketing Officer and co-founder of SkillsGap, is a host of game-changing workforce development technology. And for all the details, once again, visit skillsgap.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune into our live location as we are streaming live 24/7 around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
Thanks for listening to Enterprise Radio. To subscribe to more of our programming, visit epodcastnetwork.com.
This is the ePodcast Network.